Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our dedication sermon is recorded in the book of Joshua. We read in the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 19. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear members of Bethlehem, and brothers and sisters in Christ who have joined us this afternoon. It was a long journey, for sure. It was a journey that began with both expectations and uncertainties. It was a journey that took longer than it should have because of some missteps along the way. You know, of course, that I'm talking about Israel's trek from Egypt to the Promised Land, not our building project. After 40 years and the loss of an entire generation, Joshua, Moses' successor, was ready to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. They were camped on the east side of the Jordan and would cross over to Gilgal just on the eastern side of the city of Jericho. There was, however, a problem. That river was flooded. It was coursing very deep and rushing very violently because the Jordan at that time of the year was filled up to the highest point of its banks with spring waters. It would take a miracle to get those 2 million people from one side of the Jordan River to the other. God performed a miracle for his people. Joshua did not want the people to ever forget it. He didn't want future generations to ever forget it. And so he followed the Lord's command to take 12 stones from the Jordan River when they crossed and to build it into a memorial. And that memorial would remind Israel and all future generations of two things. This afternoon, applying that command of God to Joshua and using the construction of his memorial in comparison to our structure of this new worship place, we ask the question, what do these stones mean? They mean two things. They mean, first of all, that the hand of the Lord is powerful. And they mean that we always may fear the name of the Lord. Before they crossed, finally, in the last leg of their journey into the land of Canaan, Israel was called upon to consecrate themselves. Essentially, what they did is what we do before we worship. What do we do the night before or the morning before we worship? We think, I'm a sinner. We trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness. We fully expect to be raised from earth into heaven by the divine service. We know that as God leads us in that service through Christ and by the Spirit, that we will follow Him. We will follow Him to the full reception of all His promises to us. On the eve of worship, whenever that might be, we experience the truth of Joshua's command and promise. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. The people then, after they consecrated themselves, were prepared to cross. But how would they do it? The priests took the Ark of the Covenant that would lead the way, that would blaze the trail. The minute that the priests stepped into the Jordan River with the Ark of the Covenant, the Red Sea miracle repeated itself. All of the water north of the crossing site stopped flowing. And the water that was beyond the crossing site continued its path down into the Dead Sea, which left a crossing point most likely of 20 to 25 miles of dry land on which Israel would cross. After the crossing, one member from each of the 12 tribes went into the middle of the river and picked up a stone, and they each took their stone to Gilgal, and there Joshua built that memorial. And when future generations would ask, what do these stones mean? The people could say, it means that the hand of the Lord is powerful. The people crossed over on dry land. God has done a miracle for us by the hand of His power. Everything that He does for us, He does for the sake of Christ. And that's really what that memorial would mean to Israel. Every powerful thing that God did for them was so He could keep His promise of the Savior. That memorial meant Jesus. It meant the promised Savior who would deliver us by His blood that He would shed on the cross. Deliver us from all of our sins, from all of our guilt. Deliver us from death as punishment for sin and eternal separation from God in hell. God has done a great miracle for us by the power of His hand. By the power of the Lord's hand, He has delivered us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. In those stones, in that memorial, people would see Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of their sins. By God's grace, Bethlehem congregation has been privileged to build a beautiful worship center, a worship place that contains memorials. Memorials to the hand of God, the powerful hand of God that has redeemed us and saved us. Those pillars of stones are this ambo, the baptismal font, the altar that we sang about in our opening hymn. When you and I see this ambo or this pulpit from which God's called servants of the Word proclaim and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we and future generations will never forget what Jesus did. From here will go a message so that all peoples on earth will hear that good news of their Savior. At that baptismal font, the Holy Spirit kills our flesh and buried us with Christ. He has taken us from this world into the world that never ends. He has called us out of the darkness of our unbelief and brought us into saving faith in Jesus Christ when we were too little to even know or understand just exactly what that meant. That's a miracle, isn't it? Of the power of God's hand. This altar is a memorial to the altar of the cross on which our Savior Jesus Christ offered up His blood into death and suffered our judgment and our punishment for our sins. It is on this altar that we regularly receive His true body and blood in the Lord's Supper that forgives our sins, strengthens our faith in Him as our Savior, increases our love for God and for one another. These things, these items in this worship space are those stone pillars like Joshua built for the children of Israel so that the entire earth would see the power of God's hands. As we consecrate ourselves here, whenever we worship, like this afternoon, we do so as both the community of saints, and as the ambassadors of Christ. You and I have experienced the power of the hand of God in Christ. What can stop us? What can hold us back? As we heard in our gospel lesson, what can destroy us or keep us from doing our work? Nothing. As we gather together to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching, we can do that. As ambassadors taking the good news of Jesus out into the world, we will be able to do that. Joshua's memorial reminded the people that their lives were under the hand of God's power. This place, these stones, remind us that we too are under the power of God's hands. But as a memorial for us and for future generations, they also remind us and promise us that we can continue and always fear the Lord our God. When the children of Israel who crossed the Jordan River, when they would look at that memorial that Joshua built, they would say, things are good. Journey's over. We're going to conquer all of our enemies. God has kept His promise first given to our father Abraham. It's good. This is good. And we're going to tell our children that that's what these mean, that it'll be good for them as well. And it turned out to be good. Soon that nation would take possession of the promised land as the instrument of God's judgment against the Canaanite idolatry. This place, these memorials in this place, remind us, as that memorial remind Israel, that we haven't been foolish to follow God. That meant for those people, when the ark entered the river and the river stopped, we're right behind it. We're going to follow that Ark of the Covenant right into the land that God promised us. Isn't that what we do here? For us, the Ark of the Covenant is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Following Christ is following His Word. It's following the gospel and the means of grace. That's our Ark of the Covenant. And where God leads, we follow. Where the gospel leads, we will be there so long as we continue to follow it. Go after the lead of our Savior, who has gone before us into the Holy of Holies, into the temple, not made with hands, so that we can follow Him there, follow Him into eternal life in heaven. You and I can continue to fear the Lord because He's never let us down in the past. And we know from His Word that He will never let us down in the future. What does it really mean to fear the Lord? Doesn't it mean to repent, to humble myself before God, and believe in Jesus Christ, and rely solely on the work that He did for our salvation? You know, when Israel traveled that path through the Jordan behind the ark, they traveled a path that they had never traveled before. But they trusted that the ark would lead them to a good place that God promised. Each and every day, you and I tread paths that we have never tread before. Maybe it's some difficulty in the family. Maybe it's about to have a baby. Maybe it's some other uncertainty in life. Maybe it's a word from a doctor that we only have a couple of months yet to live. You and I travel all kinds of uncertain paths through this life. But then, like Israel, they remembered, well, God dried up the Red Sea. God gave us water out of rock. God defeated all the enemies. Our clothes never wore out. We always had plenty to eat. So there's no reason to suspect that God isn't going to take care of us in the future. God loved us so much that He gave us His greatest gift, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so there's no reason for you and I to think that God, who so lovingly took care of our past, is not going to continue to give us all we need in the present, or isn't going to provide for us in the future. We will be in heaven someday because these memorials promise us that and point to Jesus Christ as our Savior. The way to safety, the way to possess the promised land is to follow Jesus Christ through the desert of this time of grace that we enjoy. To follow Jesus as we cross the River Jordan from this life into eternal life in heaven. What do these stones mean? What does this building and its appointments mean? Why are they here? They are our memorial. Not a memorial to simply remember what God has done for us, but a memorial for us to gather at regularly to really ponder what they mean. To come before them often and think about what they mean for us. And to tell our children what they mean for them. And by God's grace, for as long as He wills, to continue to be here, to tell the world and our community what these memorials mean for them also. It's for us to gather at them to meditate in thoughtful devotion and consecration. God grant for Jesus' sake that this house, that this memorial may always be the place where the peoples of the earth will come to know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and that we and our children and all future generations know that we can continue to fear the Lord. Amen.